Welcome back to Teaching the Unteachables, where we dive into teaching and learning methodologies for professionals like you.
Be careful with the data that you choose. And so what I mean by that is I would rather you have 40 impactful KPIs or 40 impactful data points that you are tracking with time to respond and react to the results that you see than you having 80 data points and I'm like, I got all this information, that's great. But you don't have enough time to react to the results. You don't have enough time to implement the change. And so I think sometimes you can kind of get caught up in that, okay, well, we should track every possible direction that there is about this. Okay, great, but every time you pick a KPI, make sure you've got an action plan for when that KPI is not where you want it to be.
This episode brought to you by Upskilled Consulting, learning and development consulting, as well as analytics for the trades. Learn more at upskilledconsulting.com. Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Podcast. Today, we're spending some time with Danielle Werner from Upskilled Consulting, LLC. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. This is a great conversation to help bring awareness to ways that we can develop our business, right? So your motto is learning, development, consulting, and analytics for the trades. And so as we start looking at ways to utilize technology for personal development, for business development, it's a matter of finding the right connections, right? Like how do we incorporate training and analytics and tracking to be successful? Because many of our contractors are starting to do their own training programs. They're looking at ways to develop their technicians, but at the same time going, and how do I keep track of that kind of stuff? And, you know, what training is out there? Is it so when we can bring that together and make a simple solution for it, it really broadens our opportunity as contractors. And, you know, typically we would cater towards our educational institutes, but we've seen a lot of development in the contractor training base. And that's really where you've been for the last few years in developing contractor training. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got there and what has came out of that experience.
Yeah. So quick little kind of backstory of my experience in the trades. So I was with Peterman Brothers for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my introduction to this world and started there as an executive assistant and quickly transitioned to kind of helping launch their learning and development department. So we created our Top Tech Academy there, which the goal was bringing in new talent. We wanted to grow our own people, specifically technicians. There's not enough technicians out there, right? So our focus was how do we train new people to come into our industry and be successful at it? And so I did that for a few years. Over time, we kind of transitioned of, okay, how do we expand this to from just brand new people into the industry to how do we help our technicians that are still on staff? Like, how do we continue that education throughout their career? So I got to kind of dive into a lot of things. We were very like pioneering in our industry. We liked to try new things and do things that other people hadn't heard of. So some of those were wins. Some of those were learning opportunities. So dove into that. I really, really loved it and kind of found a passion when I would talk to other companies that would come tour and come on site. I just found a passion in like helping them answer their training questions. And all of these companies were eager to put some sort of training strategy in for their technicians because there's so many sales trainings, there's so many leadership trainings, which are absolutely critical, but there's a gap in that technical, how do I turn the wrench? How do I swing? How do I turn the wrench? How do I swing the hammer? Absolutely. I was sometimes get those backwards. So we saw a gap in there. I really loved helping companies start their programs. And if they already had a program, just kind of take it to another level. And so I went to Chad and was like, hey, this is, you know, man to man, this is what I think I want to do. And I would find a little bit more impact and purpose in what I'm doing every day if I did this full time and kind of asked for his blessing. So I got that and dove into Upskilled Consulting and haven't looked back.
And I love that idea of being a one source place to be able to, you know, gather your thoughts, gather your resources, and then implement a program, because your training program has been very successful. It's here in my own area, which is how we got connected. And tell us a little bit, like, how does that adventure start? If I'm a contractor and I'm looking at this refrigerant transition going, okay, I know there's training resources out there and I'm probably going to get them to all my contractors. I've got equipment transitions that are here. I probably need to really start relooking at safety. I've got, you know, a lot of sales training I need to do. I need to develop a program and I don't even know where to begin. And so someone reaches out and says, all right, where do I start with this thing? What does that look like?
So exactly what you just said, there's a lot of paralysis in the, oh my gosh, I'm stepping in and there's so many resources and I have the best intentions, but I don't even know where to start. I don't know what direction to go. And so at least specifically with Upskilled, we kind of focus it into almost three different buckets. So we've got those that are wanting to start a brand new academy. Like they want their own internal program. We will help you kind of figure out all of those thousands of questions that you need to answer and what do skill assessments look like? What tools do they need? Where are they going to train? What's a lab look like? We kind of assist in all of that. I'm actually writing a book on that. So my goal is thank you. So that's kind of a big bucket, but there's a lot of companies out there that are like, okay, that sounds amazing, but it's just not in the budget to start a whole school, or we're just not right there yet.
Right.
And so I still want to incorporate training.
I got to do something.
Right. Yeah. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Right. So the other kind of areas that we focus are going to be like your career pathways. Okay, what does a direction look like for a technician when they come in specifically? Because so often there's a service title and there's a maintenance title. And so technicians can kind of feel a little overwhelmed of like, hey, I'm sitting in this same role for years. I feel like I'm ready. Where's my promotion? When's it my turn?
What do I need to do? What's my That's huge in our industry. So many technicians get stuck and they plateau out. And I think that is a big reason that we lose technicians at that stage in life. Because when we look at the development of technicians in our industry, that 2 to 3 year mark is when we lose most of our technicians. And I think about that, I was like, well, you know, we've pretty well plateaued at an entry level position. We're ready to do something else. But what does that look like? Because traditionally in our industry, it's like, okay, you ride along with somebody different that has more experience. Well, we have a shortage of those, you know, that us middle-aged technicians are starting to get out of the trade and do other things like this. And so we don't have as many of those experienced technicians to ride along with. So there's that knowledge gap in there. And so if we don't provide an opportunity for growth, there's a very good chance that we are going to lose some of those second year to third year technicians.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. And you're right. That's the not the perfect timing, but that's the timing that I see out in the industry as well. Is like you feel stuck and it's like, okay, well, when's it my next turn? And so a lot of those promotions are based on like, how often do you ask yourself, well, I feel like this guy's ready to promote. As soon as you say the word feel, like you've made everything subjective. Like where is the objectivity? Yeah. So transition to that analytics and that monitoring of, okay, let's outline exactly which hard technical skills they need to know at what point in their career. What KPIs do they need to hit? And are you tracking that on a rolling basis in case they, you know, have a bad month or, you know, all of these different qualifiers? When you get that objective number and data in front of you, it takes the feeling away and it increases that fairness for your team too. So that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I spent quite a few years as a technical trainer for a distributor. And oftentimes I would have contractors, especially new contractors that were new to the equipment, they would want equipment training. And I would go in and go, how about we actually do a technician assessment for you so that you can check the skill level of your technicians? And it was very interesting because many times it was the more experienced technicians that were afraid of that. They didn't want to be checked. And I would have to encourage them that it's not about finding out what you know. It's about what you don't know so that we can give you the correct education. Because as a business owner, the most difficult thing with looking at new hires, especially experienced new hires, is do I have, say it's a 10-year mark.
Yeah.
This person applying has 10 years of experience. Do they have 10 years of educated experience?
Good experience.
Where they learn new things every year, they had continuing education, or they've been doing the same bad habits for 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
And without analytics and KPIs, without knowing what that is as a contractor, boy, that's a big challenge. That's a big step to make. Is this person really going to be able to be successful? Or a young person that is interested in learning, and they go, okay, what's my career path? Because we did an episode here a while back talking about especially Gen Z and Alpha. Yeah. They want career paths. And if you don't have a career path, you're probably going to lose them to somebody that does.
Yeah. They want to know the direction. And that's what's going to help kind of let you decide of like, okay, you don't have to hold their hand through all of it. And so many companies are like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. Like, how much more work is that going to be for me? Well, yeah, there's the work up front when we build it. Hopefully, you know, people like me and other companies will help be that resource for you. But outside of that, like, you lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink, right? You're going to find out who your hungry people are, because they're going to be the ones that are like, give me every certification after my name that I can. Sign me up for these trainings. Oh, I know that I went to this job yesterday and I didn't really, like, I've never really seen that before. Can you bring me into the lab for a training next week if we're slow? They're going to weed out your people of who's comfortable being where they're at and who is aggressive and ready to grow.
Yeah. Look at just simple things like pay analysis and bonus incentives. You know, as a contractor, how do I establish that? Is it based on tenure? Well, I don't know, because I could have someone that's only been here for 2 years and they're hungry for that knowledge and they're excelling and they're doing great. And I could have someone that's been here for 10 years and they're just kind of, you know, loafing around. Well, who deserves a higher incentive? If we give it to the less experienced technician, your more experienced technicians are really going to quarrel over that. And they're going to say, well, why? Why are you giving this person a bigger bonus than I am? And if you've got some data that can correlate to that, you've got analytics going, well, here's your trend. Here's the trainings that were offered to you that you didn't take. Mm-hmm. And here is this person that had the same opportunity and they decided to take those opportunities to be able to advance their career. It allows so much more opportunity for not just the contractor, the business owner, but as that technician who's wanting to do something with their career,
that
sets them up with opportunities and paths.
And data is going to be your best friend in all this. And like, I do like to caution that. So I've been having this conversation a lot recently, is like, be careful with the data that you choose. And so what I mean by that is I would rather you have 40 impactful KPIs or 40 impactful data points that you are tracking with time to respond and react to the results that you see, than you having 80 data points and I'm like, I got all this information, that's great, but you don't have enough time to react to the results. You don't have enough time to implement the change. And so I think sometimes you can kind of get caught up in that, okay, well, we should track every possible direction that there is about this. Okay, great. But every time you pick a KPI, make sure you've got an action plan for when that KPI is not where you want it to be.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, look at take like service calls, right? So I built my training from a distributor level. I built my training based around KPIs of service calls that we've got, technical support calls. And so if I had an abundance of technical support calls about this particular model of equipment, well, guess what? I was building a training upon that particular model of equipment. And so same way from a training department for a contractor. You know, if I'm looking at callbacks, right, that is one of the number one concerns of a contractor, because that's lost revenue for every callback. If I can utilize those callback information and incorporate those KPIs back into my training, we've taken a whole lot of the guesswork out of what do I bring to my training program, because now we have analytics that proves it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like to kind of point out too, of like things like department meetings. Say you have a weekly department meeting. If you're not utilizing those to the fullest potential, you're wasting money. So if you do an average of like, say you have 10 technicians, okay, and you pay them just, I don't know, blanket $20 an hour. Right. If you do a weekly department meeting, you're paying out $13,000 a year just in hourly wage for your team to be there, your leader to be facilitating. So you're investing all this money already. So that's an easy kind of little snippet to look at of like, okay, let's track data on my department meetings. What topics are we teaching? What retention are they getting? And so many department meetings from what I've seen, are just shotgunning. And so it's like every week we're gonna talk about a new topic and hope something sticks. What'd you learn, right? And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. Learners don't stick like that. And so I work with people a lot in like, let's really develop your department meetings. Let's take a monthly focus. Utilize your resources like your vendors. So many vendors and distributors offer free trainings for your team.
Absolutely.
And people are like, well, okay, they come in and they pitch sales for an hour and then my team doesn't learn anything. Okay, well, how are you, that vendor training is just a piece of the learning, right? Like that, you can't lean on that to be the answer and then expect your guys to come out and start selling millions of dollars of what they just learned on. That's not how it works. So we work with like really analyzing that data. Okay, what's the before sales before your vendor comes in? What's the after sales in a month's time span? You're looking at before and after revenues. You know, let's say, okay, this vendor comes in, they do the training. Next week, guys, we're going to do a retention quiz. Like next week, we're going to bring that same topic back. Stop jumping from topic to topic to topic and really put a focus on your skills that you're learning at a time and reach all the different levels of learning styles and things like that. So there's so many KPIs that are more than just recall is huge. Recall rate is absolutely the number one that I track. But there's so many more past that that are more than just your revenue, your average ticket, things like that. Those are business KPIs, critical, critical information to have. There's a ton of data that you can do in training and learning too.
And I'm starting to think I need to utilize the software for my own training calendar. Or did you know? Am I just saying things over and over and over? Is anyone actually picking up on it? Is it worthwhile? Is it selling products? Because it's really what it comes down to is, you know, managing time and using software to manage time efficiently. You know, we are all struggling as technicians, as educators, as contractors. We're all struggling with change because there's so much of it in a short period of time. Let's make sure we don't forget that a lot of this change has been driven by technology. So we make sure we're utilizing the technology that is available to us to get back as much of that time as we possibly can. And I completely see the significance in this.
Yeah. I like to utilize technology in formats of like, so those technical analysis, like let's stop doing pen and paper quizzes. Let's create digital quizzes. Let's create digital assessments where you just are clicking buttons. It spits out your score and then you've got your data. You don't have to grade it by hand and then put the answers in Excel so you have, you know, data to look at down the road. Technology can be your best friend. It can take a while to learn depending on what you're doing and there's a learning curve. But there, some of the resources that are out there are just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually use internally, we have our own analytics that we use for the classroom in particular, and that a lot of our educators will use to look at their test results to help determine, you know, do they need to learn more as an educator? Are they delivering the content? We do this as a service for a lot of our educators, and it's very successful in the classroom. So if we can take those same principles and implement it into our own business model and start relooking at how we do training, take, for instance, some of the e-learning courses like we were just talking about, right? That's one of our specialties. We do a lot of e-learning courses, but a lot of e-learning courses are not cheap. Right. Yeah. And so they're very specific. So who needs the course? Does everyone need the course or does certain individuals need the course? And can that be assigned as like a homework item? Hey, you're really failing on this number. We will pay for this class if you're interested in taking it on your own to help improve, you know, your own performance score.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start looking at some of these younger generations, they're already on their phone, you know, 6 hours plus a day. Yes. If they have the opportunity to take advantage of that, they will. So in many of our classrooms, our instructors will use similar designs. So they'll look at the performance of their students and the students that are really missing in certain topics. They may assign them an e-learning course as a homework assignment.
Yeah.
And same kind of principle. Works great for a contractor solution.
Yeah. And I think you guys may already be doing this, but I would challenge you if you're not. So many people look at those assessments or those courses and they look at the final score and they're like, okay, well, you got a 75% or you got a 90%. And especially when your quizzes and your content have more than, you know, two questions, if you're looking at kind of a larger final exam, if you will, or something, when you can analyze the results, okay, say your team has, you have 10 team members and they all take the same quiz. how many people are missing question number four? Like, dive in deeper than just the final score, which, again, you guys are probably doing, but just if anybody's listening and they
do. People are unaware of this, though.
Yeah, dive in, see which questions are commonly missed. And then that's going to say, okay, as a group, we need to collectively go back over this topic because we really kind of maybe missed something. Maybe we didn't communicate it well. Maybe it was a little more complicated than we thought. And as a trainer, that's a huge piece of, like, if you ever have a large group that's not grasping the concept collectively, it probably needs approached in a different way from you as a facilitator.
Delivery. Yeah. Yeah, I love this. I mean, we're talking skill sets that, you know, that I'm familiar with, because we spend a lot of time in the educator realm with that. But oftentimes in the contractor side, it's overlooked, especially from management and from leadership. They don't see that in the past we've looked at training as a necessity and not necessarily a revenue factor. But when we start tracking it and we start verifying and validating how the training has improved those KPIs as a business, all of a sudden we can start justifying training. We can validate training.
Yeah.
And information, data is the only way we can actually do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a little overwhelming at the beginning, but again, like, as long as for every force, there's a reaction. It's like, there's a science equation in there somewhere, I know. But every KPI you have, as long as you've got an action plan for how to respond to it, then you're already light years ahead. You know, that data will give you a ton of information.
All right. So if I am a contractor and I'm starting to step back and I'm going, okay, we really got to get serious about training, because I can tell you every contractor has that on their agenda. It just may not have previously been at the highest level. And now they're starting to relook at training, going, okay, we have new refrigerants, we have new equipment, we're going to need training. And I've heard about this upskilled program and I want to dive deeper. Where do I begin?
Yeah. So I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if you want to shoot me a message, just send me a connection request. I love getting to meet people that way. So again, my name's Danielle Wernert. But if you want to go straight to the Upskilled website, it's just upskilledconsulting.com. That's going to be like a quick overview of all the different services that we offer, kind of where we start. And everything is customized to your company. So I like to take things, and if I'm working on a new hire experience for your company, I like to take your employee handbook, send me the resources you already use, and then I will modify the deliverables for you to match some of what you're already doing, and then married along with recommendations that I might have if I notice gaps and things like that. So.
Okay, I love it. You know, we're all about education. We're all about upskilling the industry, finding solutions for everyone. And for contractors, that's just not been a solution that we've focused on. We do get contractors that'll call us going, hey, I need a training track. I need a learning track. And we go, well, here's what we build for schools. Here's some of the designs that we use. But contractor training is a little bit different because typically it's very specific on your market. It's very specific on the equipment that you're installing. And so it's a little different to design. And so that's why I'm grateful for the connection and to see your passion in designing these programs for contractors, because going forward, I believe every contractor is going to have to focus on training. Yeah. And as you start developing your business and you start having more technicians, that needs to become an automated process. And using a service like Upskilled, in my personal opinion, is the way to best develop that and actually, you know, sets it to an industry standard.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. So Danielle, thank you for joining us. Everyone, check out Upskilled Consulting LLC. Learn a little bit more about the process and how you can develop your own training program. For any additional resources that you need, you're welcome to contact us at escogroup.org and check out the HVACR Learning Network. And Danielle will be happy to help you customize and craft a training program that works for your development plan. So we thank you, Danielle, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right.